Good morning. Thank you. Hey, let's give God a real, I believe that, hand clap of praise. You know, when you start talking about somebody who died and came back, you're talking about somebody that can help you get through a bad day. Amen? Hey, let's stand. I know you didn't get a chance to say hi to your neighbor yet today. We're gonna have a little different approach to this today. I'd like you to meet a couple people you don't know. But here's, wait, you're messing it up. You're messing it up. Don't be so eager to meet people. When you meet them, I want you to give as many titles of who and what you are that you can. Like, you may be, you know, like I see a police officer, a dad, a husband, a wife, a gardener, you know. I want you to just take 5 to 10 titles and just throw them on people that when you meet them. It'll make sense in a little while, but let's have fun and meet some new people for a moment today. Go. Now, isn't that better? Don't you know some things about some people you didn't know a moment ago? Some people are still going down their list. See, why I wanted you to do that, just to have fun with it, is I want to talk about our knowledge of God, personal knowledge and experiences with God. And the truth is, you know, some of us may only know God as Savior. And we may not know that He's really our best friend yet. We may not know that He's the God that will never walk away from us yet. And what I want to talk to you today about is several names that God reveals to us in the Word about what and who He wants to be in our life. Because there's a whole lot more to God than just God. There's a whole lot more to God than just God wanting to be the guy that runs the show and, you know, if you break the rules, he'll flatten your tire or do stuff like that. I mean, the truth is God is an all-loving creator that wants to be a part of your most intimate areas of life. The secret struggles, the public struggles, the sickness, the trials, the setbacks. And a lot of times, you know, we kind of can God up in a sanctuary, in an auditorium. And, you know, he kind of becomes this thing that we did a prayer and we got right with him somewhere. And we leave it there. And we've been doing a series for several weeks on faith. And I want to talk to you today about getting to know God and some more redemptive ways for your life than maybe you possibly know him today. And why don't we go ahead and pray, and then I'll read scripture in a moment. Father, thank you so much for my friends, my brothers, sisters in Christ, God. Thank you for those that have made their way here today, and those that are for the first time have come out to be with us. Thank you, God. You knew who would be here before any of us even knew, and I'm asking, God, that you would change lives here today, that we would have encounters with you that are significant, that would be life-altering as well as eternal, God. And so we open our hearts and minds to you. We thank you for how it feels in this room, the gift of joy and love that you've given us today. Thank you. And I pray that you would speak through me effectively today, God, and that Christ would be the only one elevated in this place, and that we would be compelled to come toward him today. I thank you for it in Christ's name, and each of us would say, amen. Be seated. Thank you for kind of participating with that. I'm in Genesis. If you would open your Bible to Genesis chapter 17, I want to read a passage where God reveals himself in new ways to a person that's having kind of a challenge in life, a difficult moment. And just to kind of set what I'm trying to show you today, Genesis chapter 17, and I'm in verse 1. And I'm going to read it straight out of the Bible, and then I'll kind of back out and show you what we just read. Verse 1, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I'll make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. And then it goes into this kind of dialogue. But what I want you to see is there's actually three names of God that are in this encounter. That if we were reading this at home right now, here's the setting. Abram has been promised by God years before that he literally would have a nation of children, that he would have so many kids, God said they'd be like the stars in the sky. And here we are now 13 years later, and the only child he has was a child with another lady that, well, he has a child with another lady. He shouldn't have had a child. And God just puts him on hold for a while. And so he's sitting here now, 99 years old, trying to figure out how God's activity in his life is going to work out. What's it mean for God to give him a promise? And so I want to read this passage again and kind of stop and show you the different names of God. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, childless, promised a nation, the Lord. Now there, the name is Jehovah, the self-existent one. It's Yahweh. It's the God that's always been. It's the Holy One, right? And it says, he appeared to Abram and said to him, now look, Jehovah is appearing to him, but God wants him to know another facet of him. Do you follow me? God is trying to open his understanding here, because Abram's take on God right now is, he promised me something, I messed it up, and the promise may be over. Jehovah, the Holy One, is the one I'm talking to. And look what God says. He says, I am Almighty God. Now, when you dig in and find out the root words and the original context, what he's saying is, I am El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. In other words, I can do anything that I say I can do. No matter how hard you think it is, God can do it. Amen? El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. I'm childless. I'm 99 years old. It's a bad time to start a family. And God just says, hey, I have all the sufficiency to give you exactly what I've promised you. Do you follow the logic? You may think this is impossible. The all-sufficient one is not intimidated at all. You see, the all-sufficient one doesn't need anything from you for him to fulfill his promises for you. He just needs you to be obedient, right? He needs you to play it his way, but he has all he needs to do what he wants to do for you. And so Jehovah is who he starts talking with, and he says, listen, right now I want you to understand I'm El Shaddai. I'm the all-sufficient one. And he goes on and he says, if you just walk before me and do this right, be blameless, I'm going to make my covenant good. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. And then it says, Abram fell on his face, and God, in this three verses, three views of God, God, Elohim, the transcendent and mighty one, talked with him. He's talking to the Holy One. The Holy One says, I want you to understand, I'm the all-sufficient one. I can do what I've told you I can do. Anyone holding out for a promise that they think God has given them? I mean, how do we do that? He says, listen, I can do it. And then he starts talking to the Almighty God. It'd be like us sometimes, we stop and we pray, our Father, which is in heaven. And yet somewhere along there, we need Mighty God. And yet there are other times we need a loving God to be in our life. Do you follow me? It's the same moment in his life. You see, the truth is, faith has to be tested. You really don't know what you believe until you have to believe it. Say amen. It's the truth. I mean, you can claim you believe this and believe this, but when Monday happens and all hell breaks loose and life gets turned upside down and things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go, or it's not playing out, or God's not acting right, or whatever your story would be, that's when you really find out what your faith is, don't you? And the Bible says your faith has to be tested. Otherwise, you're not even sure if you have faith. Faith is only faith when you have to employ it in difficult moments and you hold on to the handle to the unseen world of what you believe is going to happen in the seen world. Faith. And so God is saying, listen, I'm not only Jehovah, I'm also the all-sufficient one. And then he starts talking to Elohim, the Almighty God. I just want to talk to you for a few moments about different revelations, different encounters with God. And I hope by the time you leave here today, you'll understand that it takes us walking with God through the difficult moments to learn more about God than we currently may know about him. Because it's in the difficult times when you really learn how good or how powerful or how faithful or how whatever God is. Do you agree with that? I mean, I can claim all I want about God, and it's easy to believe in an incredible God when my life is incredible. But when my life is not incredible, do I still believe in an incredible God? And it's in those moments, it's when your faith is tried and it becomes a thread and you're not sure what you believe and you're not sure how to sort life out and you're not sure how to get through the difficult parts. That's where you really find out who God is. Do you agree with that? And you see, it's in those difficult times that you're going to learn more about God. You're going to learn in one moment something about God that you didn't know before. And if you walk with him and you get in another tough spot, or you need God to come into your home and, you know, restore some things or heal somebody or whatever you need, it's in those moments that you learn not only is God Jehovah and not only is God El Shaddai, God is also Elohim. And as you walk with him, you learn more and more. It's like Jesus. We learn about Jesus. Here's what, let me find my notes real quick. Isaiah 9 said, "For unto us a child is born, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His name. In other words, he's saying, listen, this is a prophecy of Christ hundreds of years before he was born, saying, I want you to understand he's going to be wonderful. He's not going to be this, but he's going to be Mighty God. And he's not only going to be this, but he's going to be the Prince of Peace. And then when he's born, what should we call him? Make sure you call him, name him Emmanuel, which means what? Which means what? God is with us. And so it's another name that is meant to represent something about him. A moment ago when you started introducing yourself to somebody and you said, hey, I'm a dad and I'm a husband and I'm a pastor at Genesis, and I like to hunt, and I like to fish, and I play racquetball, and all at once, it's like each title, each name, you learn more and more about the person. Have you ever met somebody, and you walk with them for a while, and you hear them in a story, and you're like, I didn't know that about you. I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you liked that. And all at once, you put another facet to their identity. And that's exactly how God should be. As you walk with him, as you walk with Christ, Christ shouldn't just be Savior. Christ should become Lord. And Christ shouldn't just be Lord. He should be the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he shouldn't just be that. He should be Emmanuel. He should be the God that is with me at all times. And as you learn these things, you start walking your journey in a different light, because I have a God that literally is in my shadows right now. That's the promise. I have a God that said, I'll never walk away from you. And I put him in a situation where he could have walked away. And yet he didn't. So I know something about God I didn't know before now. Do you follow me? The Holy Spirit. We have titles and names and roles for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, is what he's called. The Holy Spirit is the power. The Holy Spirit is the paraclete. It's a fancy word that means He's the one that comes beside you and helps you do what you can't do on your own. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, and this is what He begins to teach you. Cry out, Abba, Father. Have a deep relationship with God, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, that looks like Father, Child. And Jesus, when He was teaching us to pray, I touched on this a moment ago. I mean, He's the one. They didn't know God as Father. They knew God as God. They knew God as Old Testament and lots of rules and a lot of rituals. And Lord, teach us to pray. And He said, well, when you pray, pray this. Our Father. You talk about an identity change for them. They didn't know God as Father. They didn't even know that was possible. And yet, now they have an Abba Daddy in heaven. Everyone tracking with me a little bit here? And so I want to walk you through some, they're called the redemptive names of God that are in the Bible. And what it means is, it's places where God reveals Himself in crises or tough moments to show another name, another facet of who He is and who He wants to be in our lives. And the truth is, I most need them when I most need them. Hello? Jehovah, the self-existent, the holy name, the name the Jews took the vowels out and wouldn't even say, Yahweh. And God builds on that, the self-existent, the holy one, the one that's always been. He takes Jehovah and adds other, for us it would be like middle names that goes with this first name now. The first one is where Abram has been promised a child. He just had this prayer, and God says, listen, if you walk with me, if you do this right, I promise I'll fulfill what I've told you. And so, if you know the story at all, Abram eventually has a son, Isaac. And here's God's humor, his hilarity. I mean, I don't understand, so don't ask me about it. God says, I want you to offer your child back to me now. I mean, he waited, he messed it up, he waited, he gets here, he has a kid, and now God just says, I want your kid. And so Abram takes Isaac to a mountain, and he's going to give his kid back to God as an offering. And you know how far God lets him to get? All the way to the nanosecond before he's about to offer his son. Read the scripture, it's a crazy story, I don't get it. But right when he's about to give his son back to God, God speaks to him and changes the moment and offers another offering. It's a ram caught up in the bushes and all. And so Abram goes over and gets the ram and brings it over and offers that instead. And then it says he builds an altar. And you know what he names God there? Jehovah Jireh. You know what that means? My provider. And he builds a place because now he doesn't only know him as El Shaddai and Jehovah and all this. Now, do you understand? He now knows that God is a providing God. Have you ever been in a place where you needed God to meet your needs? Anybody? Have you ever been in a place to where you know you've got God Almighty and you've got all this and you got Abba Daddy and all that, but you're in a place to where you can't make ends meet in your life and you don't know how this is going to play out for you? There's a Jehovah Jireh. There is a God the Provider that wants to be known in your life because there are going to be times where He'll meet needs for you that you could never meet on your own. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise today. And you know what God says to him after he's obedient and he finds and meets Jehovah Jireh? He then promises to him, he says, now you're going to have abundant blessings in your life. Because there will be moments where, have you ever found yourself doing God's job? Have you ever found you trying to work it out because God didn't yet, or God, you know, or whatever, and you find you're running around chasing yourself everywhere? And he just kind of says, now that you know Jehovah Jireh, you're going to have greater blessings in your life. And man, I think all of us would live a little better if we would know Jehovah Jireh in some of the times where we are running as fastly as we can to get things done, to say, you know what? My God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I can slow down right now because he's got this. Amen. 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 What about anyone ever been in a battle? And I don't mean like fist fight. I mean like spiritual. Anybody? Yeah. How about fist fight? Anybody been? Yeah, that's more fun. Yeah, fist fight. But the guys are like, that was the best question anyway. So, I mean, we go through battles, don't we? We go through, you know, I mean, if you want to push it a little more spiritual, where you feel like you're in a spiritual attack, or you feel like, you know what, I'm going through some tough spiritual things right now. And sometimes it's life that's tough, sometimes it's spirit that's tough. And, I mean, what does God do in those times? You know, does God just say, hey, that's your battle, and I wish you well because I want to remain friends with you. There's a place in the Bible where Moses and the nation of Israel is in a battle. And for whatever reason, the battle was all predicated upon Moses' hands being up as a sign of victory. And if they started dropping, they'd start losing the battle. And so they found a way to prop his arms up as if they already won, they're celebrating, and they won the victory. It's kind of, again, I don't always understand how and why God works the way he does. But when the battle was over, Moses built an altar. And this is what he called the altar. The altar of Jehovah Nissi. And what that means is, my God is my banner. It means that God is on the battlefield fighting with us and for us, and he gives us the banner of victory already. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says the battle is not yours? Hello? It's the Lord's. You see, there's going to be times where if you don't incorporate God in your battle and realize he's fighting with you and for you, there's going to be times that you have your lunch handed to you. And you're going to come in here just pummeled by the week you've had. I mean, how much better would our life be if when we're really struggling with our faith and we don't understand some stuff and we're battling, how much better would it be if we knelt at the altar of Jehovah Nissi and said, you know what, God, you already see me as more than a conqueror in this situation. I'm doing this on my own, and I need to employ you, and I need to trust your strength right now, because when I'm weak, you are strong, and your strength through me will get me through what I'm going through. Amen? I mean, I know for one, I need that from time to time, and I'd be willing to bet you need. Instead of fighting in your own strength and mental power and all of that, to just stop and bow at the altar of Jehovah Nissi and say, you know what? I claim that I'm going to win this victory because you're Jehovah Nissi and you are battling for me right now. And the victory is mine, so I raise my hands in victory. Amen? Come on, let's give him a thanks for that. You got to believe it. You see, that's part of the point, that if you only know him as God, the big heavy who gets angry when you mess up, there's no way you're going to ever trust that when you're struggling with your own junk, that he wants to be Jehovah Nissi in your life. You'll never get that. And yet until you do, you're going to fight on your own. But the moment you do, you realize there's a God. Isaiah says he's got blood-stained garments, because he's on the battlefield fighting for us. That's the God we serve, Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. The God that battles and proclaims victory over your life. I mean, wouldn't you like to just now just look to the area in your life where you know you're getting defeated. Wouldn't you like to believe Jehovah Nissi is there and he's already put you are a champ over that area for you? Wouldn't you? And to know that he wants to be a part of that battle. Hello? Well, anyone ever been afraid? How would you like it in the day when you're cowering from the enemy and you're hiding from the battle and you're tucked away in your little corner, got your nightlight on? If God walked up to you in your most feared, fear-filled moment and would call you a person of great valor and a warrior, could you imagine? You'd be thinking, me? I'm scared. I'm scared, God. I don't know how this is going to work out, and I don't see it working out well. Well, you need to read about Gideon, because Gideon was scared. And the truth is, he was hiding from the enemy. He'd ran, hidden, and the angel of the Lord came to him and called him a man of valor, a mighty warrior. Let me read the dialogue. It says, the angel comes in and he says, "Hail, mighty man of valor, the Lord, Jehovah, is with you." And Gideon says, "If you're with me," have you ever felt this way? "Then why has all this happened? If Jehovah is with me, why am I going through this?" The angel responds, "It's going to be all right. I'm going to use you in this tough moment." Gideon says, "I need a sign." The angel says, "Here's your sign. You're not going to die." I'd want a little more than that, wouldn't you? And of course, they work out this thing, and he has this sign, and the angel says, "Go do it and live in peace." And in that moment, when Gideon sees that God is going to use him to rescue a nation, it says that he builds an altar, and he calls it Jehovah Shalom. God is my peace. Man, you know, when I feel like I don't want to face another day, and I feel like the world is bigger than I am, and I don't have peace in my life because of all the stuff. You ever been there? There's an encounter you can have with God. There's a God, a facet of him you can know, that no matter what the storm looks like in the finances, the career, the business, the marriage, the family, the kids, the ministry, no matter what it looks like, there's a guy out there that wants you to know him as Jehovah Shalom. That a moment ago you're hiding because you're scared. And he comes into your life and says, "Why are you hiding? You're not going to die. I'm giving you a peace right now that you could never find in this moment." Here's what Christ said. "My peace I give to you. Not a peace the world can give, but only the one that Christ can give." He says you can have a peace that passes all your comprehension right now. What's your take on your situation right now? Do you have some that causes unrest or unsettles you? Jehovah Shalom could say, "Have peace because he's with you." Thank God. Huh? What about when you're being defeated? You're being plundered. The score in your life is all messed up. You have no real vision. You're kind of just going through it. You're not sure what's going to happen next, and then you go forward and you're not, you ever felt like you're not good enough to be really loved by God? You ever felt like if you knew what I really did, God, you'd never love me? You ever felt like you out-sinned the grace of God? I won't ask for hands, but I see a lot of I mean, you ever felt like you got to do something to make up with God? I mean, I have. You see, there's this name that God wants us to know. You see, if you put all your sins in a scale, right? One of those balances. If you put all my sins or your sins right now, I mean, it wouldn't be a good thing, would it? And there's a name, it's called God is my righteousness. Don't call me later and tell me you think I mispronounced a word, because I'm going to hang up on you. But Jehovah Tsidkenu. And what it means is he's the God of righteousness. And that when you come to him with sin in your life, and you come to him and you think, there's no way, God, you could love me right now, but could you forgive me? God, could you just please one more time? You know what he does? He always tilts the scales in your favor. To where when he always sees you, he sees you as forgiven. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. See, we sing it. And what that means is when you really start seeing yourself as loved in the eyes of God, man, you're in a good place. Amen? I mean, otherwise, again, you feel like you're always behind, or like, God, I promise you, I won't do this one more time. Only, I mean, to do it not only once, but seven. And then you kind of get the strength and the courage. God, I promise you, if you just forgive me one more time. And God just says, hey, tilt the scales. I don't know about you, but that feels really good to me right now. To know that God will always tilt the scales. Amen. And then what about when you truly do feel all alone? Nobody to call. Or maybe, you know, I mean, you can be surrounded by this many people and feel alone, can't you? So you don't have to be all by yourself to feel lonely. You can be surrounded by, I mean, family, loved ones, friends, and feel like, I'm on an island, man, and I'm in a battle all by myself right now. And probably most of us, or at least many of us, have felt that, you know. I just have to go through it. I have to figure this out. And I got to find my notes. Thank you. Somebody comes up here and moves them on me sometimes when I'm not looking, don't they? Have y'all seen them? Crosshairs of hell on you. All hell's busted loose, and there's a name that God would offer you today. It's Jehovah Sabaoth. And you know what it means? It means he's the Lord of the army of the hosts. There's this story in the Old Testament. I love this story. Elijah and Elisha, they're surrounded by a physical army, right? They go to sleep at night, and when they wake up, one of them kind of looks out, and all he sees is the enemy. And he just comes in. He just says, hey, it's bad. It's really bad. It's just us against them, and we're going to die. I mean, this is how it's going down. And you know what Elijah prays for him? He says, Lord, open his eyes that he could see that they which are for us are more than they which are against us. And you know what God, Jehovah, did for him? He literally let him see in the unseen world. He thought it was just him and his buddy against this whole army. And when God opened his eyes, between the physical army and them was the host, God's army, completely surrounding and protecting them. My friend, I don't care how much it feels like you're in this all alone. You will never be in this all alone. He will always protect you. Always. Always. And so when you're going through this battle and feeling like no one understands and it's just me against the world and God is on vacation and all of that stuff you feed your mind, just remember there's a God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts, the Lord of the Lord's armies. And He has made sure that you are not going through this by yourself. Man, thank God. And then, have you ever felt like your life is somewhat pointless? You missed your 15 minutes of fame, or you know, you're just drifting, man. You're making 40, you're getting a W-2, you're paying the bills, not getting ahead, not getting behind, but I really don't know why I'm here. I don't know that God has a plan for my life. I'm just here. And if He does, I'd love for Him to show it to me. But I'm just walking through the motions. I'm doing what I know to do. Then tell me if you've ever heard, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my guide. And it says, because Jehovah Rohi, I truly want to believe I'm guided in life. Don't you? I mean, I don't want to think that this is, you know, some crazy drama that we're going through and we missed it, or you just happened to be the one, Bob. There was no point for you being on earth. I truly want to believe that there is a Jehovah Rohi, that there is a God. There is a God that comes in your life and in my life and guides us. Don't you? I mean, seriously, don't you? I want to know that the decisions I make in life are somewhat guided by a God I've never seen, and yet I'm making ones that honor Him. And He's going to get me to the big aha at the end of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that I shall not want. He causes me to lie down, to rest. Man, if I feel like God has guided me, there's got to be times I can chill. Amen? He leads me. Thank God. Where does He lead me? Beside still waters. And He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths. Why? You know what it says? Do you know what it says? For His name's sake. What's His name? Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi. My shepherd. Because He wants to be the shepherd, He wants to guide me well. Do you get it? I can't claim Him to be a shepherd and let Him, I fall off a cliff and blame Him. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear because Jehovah Rohi is with me. He comforts me. He prepares a table for me, for you, in the midst of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, our cup is overflowing. Surely, goodness and mercy are following me, and I'm going to dwell in His house forever. Why don't you just tell the person beside you, God has a plan for your life. Would you do that for me? And then there's one more. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, the God that is greater than anything that ever comes against us, the God that defeated the grave. Well, Bob, why doesn't He heal this? And I don't know. I mean, I obviously can't say what and what He's not up to. But that doesn't discount Him from being Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And I certainly mean, or don't mean only physical. He heals marriages, I can tell you that. He heals homes. He heals emotions. He heals hearts. He heals lives. He's a healer. He comes into those broken areas, those wounded areas of our life. He comes into those things where we got bruised and nobody knows about, and we carry them, and He comes in right there. And He's the God that can heal all of our diseases. By the stripes upon His Son's back, we are what? Healed. He is the God that heals. Now, I don't know where you are in your walk. And I don't know where I got in your junk drawer today. I don't know which Jehovah you would like to meet today. But I know that God has ordained this moment. I know that. And I know some of you thought as I walked through one, I would love to know that God. I would love to know the God of peace right now, because my life is in a storm. I would love to know the God that provides, because I don't know how to make this happen. I would love to know the God that has put a banner of victory over my life, because I'm getting defeated every day right now. I would love to know the God that walks with me and has called the battle, the camp, the army, all to my side. I would love to know that. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know which one you may need, but the worship team's going to sing a song that is incredibly moving. That's all I'll say about it. And I want you, just like several of them in the scriptures, they build an altar. I want you to come find a place up here today. In a school auditorium, make it a sanctuary where you meet Jehovah, whoever. So as they sing, these altars are open, and I'll come back and close in a few moments, but please, your faith may be on trial, and you may need to know God in a way you've never known Him before, and I'm telling you, He's in this room for you today. Sing it.
Should I, God of grace?
Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for incredible moments, God, where we get to know you in deeper, more meaningful ways. None of us would ask for tests and trials of faith, God, but we know it's in those that we learn more about ourselves and more about you than in any other time. And so I pray for my friends. I pray, God, that they would know that you're going to show up. You're going to provide. You're never going to walk away. That you have an army encamped around about them. That you see them as conquerors, God. That the scales are tipped in our favor. That you're leading us, God. That each part of you would be realized in our lives, and that we would not sell short of getting to fully know you, God. As we pray for a moment, Genesis, if you're here today and you would just say, you know, Bob, I'm just not where I belong with God. And I need to begin a relationship with him. I need to make that right. I want to pray for you today, and I want to lead us in a prayer that just simply says, Father, forgive me. And it's a chance to meet him again as the Savior, as the all-loving God. And I am going to ask you, you know, when we're done, if you prayed that prayer, to lift your hand just so we can celebrate. We don't want to point you out. We don't want to do anything weird. It's just, you know, the premise is if you don't tell us, you can't tell anybody. So, Genesis, would you join with me? And if you're here today and you want to make things right with God, would you join this prayer also? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel. I'm a sinner, and I've sinned, and I need to be forgiven. Forgive me. Come into my life. Give me a new beginning, a new hope, a fresh start. Teach me how to walk with you as I allow you to walk with me. I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, and amen. Genesis, let's give God a hand clap of praise today. Now, if you prayed that prayer, and I mean, you mean it, you really want to go out of here and make this thing happen, and you just said, God, forgive me, I want to get things right, would you just lift your hand and keep it up for a second? Wow. Yeah, praise God. Wow. Come on, Genesis. Give God a real, real hand clap of praise. Come on.